This Bible reading comes from Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 11. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation.
Well, friends, what an inspiring morning already. And I've heard that good news so many times through song, through items, and it is a Good Friday. And because the death of Christ brings peace with God and peace with each other. Last Sunday night, I skipped church and I went to a wedding instead at beautiful Rose Bay. Very, very nice, with a few other people. 5 years ago, the man being married, Lucas, walked into this church. He came looking for something: the love of God, the peace of Christ, the hope of a better future. His life was a mess. He had been a violent man, had spent time in jail, enduring a marriage breakdown, and still before the courts for recent crimes. He heard about God's love. He realized that Christ died a sacrificial death for him. His past could be forgiven. He could start a new life in relationship with Christ. Now, as a friend of God, with the power of God to change him. Last year, he was baptized here at this church and told his story. A story of redemption, a story of hope, a story of God's amazing grace. On Sunday, he was married in the midst of four pastors, a whole bunch of family and friends, and not a few dodgy-looking people. But all people who need to know the love of Christ and to know that on Good Friday, Christ died for all of us. Whoever you are, whatever you've done, the cross says that you are deeply loved by God. Friends, it was a late evangelist, Billy Graham, who wrote, "God proved his love on the cross. When Christ hung and bled and died, it was God saying to the world, 'I love you.'" And Good Friday is the guarantee that no matter what you've done in life, God doesn't hate you. He loves you. It's a day when Christ died in our place, as we have heard already, to reconcile us to God. In Romans 5, we read these words: "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And the first thing the Apostle Paul says is that people will often die for a friend, a loved one, maybe even a stranger. "Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die." We have stories of men and women who give their lives for their loved ones. They're in a situation, in a crisis, and it's their life or their partner's, and they're willing to take the bullet. And over the past few weeks, some tributes have poured in for a French police officer who died saving the lives of others. Colonel Arnaud Beltram was 44, was shot and stabbed after he traded places with one of the captives following a shooting spree in southern France. He said to the kidnapper and the terrorist, he said, "Take me, release the other person." He went in and he lost his life in that process. His brother said he didn't have a chance. He went beyond the call of duty. He gave his life for strangers. He must have known that he didn't really have a chance. If that doesn't make him a hero, I don't know what would. The French president, Emmanuel Macron, said he fell as a hero, exceptional courage and selflessness. He deserves the respect and admiration of the whole nation. UK PM Theresa May said, sacrifice and courage was outstanding and never to be forgotten displayed by this man. And yet also in the Florida school shootings, let me give you two examples. Assistant football coach Aaron Feast died shielding students from bullets. He worked as an assistant football coach and security guard at the school. He threw himself in front of students to shield them from the bullets coming his way. They said about him, he died the same way he lived. He put himself second. He was a very kind soul, a very nice man. He died a hero. And there's a story for this student, Anthony Borges, shot five times while saving nearly 20 classmates. During the shooting, he and a group of classmates ran into a classroom to hide from the gunman. He then used his body as a human shield to protect his fellow students as he tried to lock the door. Courageous people, selfless people who risk their lives to save others. Remarkable stories of sacrifice. And we rightly honour and respect such acts of love and sacrifice. Paul says, many times people will give their lives for others. But secondly, he tells us that Christ died for his enemies. The sacrifice of Christ was quite different to those heroic sacrifices. He did not die for his friends, but for his enemies. You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly, he says. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, he says, Christ died for us. I love how all the little children said, what was the problem? Sin. You've taught them well here. Sin is rebellion against God. Sin is doing your own thing. Sin is just cheating, lying, and so on. It is not putting God in his rightful place. It is being selfish, full of pride. And God says we were ungodly and we were sinners. We were living an independent life from God. We weren't following him. Yet God still loved us. Yet God still sent his Son into the world to be our Saviour. Friends, we sin through adultery and selfishness and violence and pride and sexual immorality and sexual abuse, and the list goes on. The Australian cricketers' ball tampering, cheating is just another example. But let me say today, don't be too harsh on them and the Australian cricketers. Just like you, and they're just like me. Jesus once said, he who is without sin cast the first stone. Ready to throw the first stone? They failed. They need redemption, like we all need redemption. Now, rebellion may be active. I don't believe in God. I'll do things my way. And I've met people who are actively rebelling against God. But for many of us, our rebellion may be passive. That means we're not rebelling. We don't think we're rebelling against God. We're just ignoring him or pushing him out of our lives. And there are other things that take priority in our lives. So you don't think you're a rebel. Maybe you don't think you're a sinner. Maybe you don't think you're ungodly. You think, well, I'm a decent person. What do you mean? How dare you call me ungodly and a sinner? Well, it's not me. It's the Bible. It's God, right? Take it up with him. It's interesting that at the wedding on Sunday, surrounded by some big boys at that wedding, I was watching for people, their enemies driving past to shoot someone, but we avoided all of that by the grace of God. But I was sitting at a table talking to family members and they said, what's your story? And see, my story is very different to Lucas. Yes, I had a Greek heritage like Lucas. I was also very different. I grew up as a moral, reasonably obedient child. I never joined a gang. I was never sexually immoral. I spent no time in prison. But then I said to the people on my table, but I needed Jesus as much as Lucas needed Jesus. Because I too have failed to live rightly towards God. And so I went to a youth group as a teenager. I read the Bible and I realized that Jesus didn't just die for the really bad people. He died for the world. And all of us have fallen short of God's standards. I need Good Friday as well as Lucas does. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God in Romans 3:23. But not only that, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Now, death is physical, it's spiritual, and it's eternal. And after death, we face judgment. Friends, we don't have a hope in the world unless God does something about our predicament. And he did that on Good Friday. You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Friends, it was an act of grace. You didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. It was God saying, I look at you and I love you and I want to make possible your reconciliation with me. So thirdly, Paul says, Christ died to save us from our sins. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us. He died in our place. He died once for all, the Bible says. For Christ died for sins once for all. That means that all of us are included. The righteous for the unrighteous. He is the righteous, perfect one. We are the unrighteous. We are the imperfect ones to bring you to God. When you see Christ hanging up on a cross, you need to capture the message that God wants you to be in a relationship with him. God just loves you so much. He doesn't want you to be his enemy. He doesn't want you to be separated from him. He wants you to come home to him. Friends, as we've heard already, when Jesus said, my God, why you have forsaken me? And he's hanging on the cross when he feels the pain and the judgment of God falling upon him. My God, why have you forsaken him? He knew exactly what was going on. Don't be surprised by that. He knew exactly what was going on. He came from heaven to earth to go to that place. He's simply expressing the pain and the sorrow and the judgment falling upon him. But he did it to secure our eternal salvation. And the fourth point Paul makes here is our eternal salvation is now secure. If you trust in Christ, you don't need to fear death. You don't need to fear God's judgment. You don't need to fear hell. Your salvation is secure. Since we have now been justified by his blood, that means we are declared right with God by his blood or through faith in the cross, how much more, get that, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? In other words, we are already declared right with God. When I became a Christian, God saw me as righteous, as perfect. And when you put your faith in Christ, God looks at you not as a sinner who needs forgiveness, but as a forgiven person, a righteous person. I said, if that is the case here on earth, how much more certain then is that you will not have to face God's judgment and wrath in the end? It's all grace. That's why I love the words of the late Billy Graham. He gets a few mentions today and another mention on Sunday, having just passed away. He said, someday you will hear or read or hear that Billy Graham is dead. He says, don't you believe a word of it. I shall be more alive than I am now. I will just have changed my address. I will have gone into the presence of God. Friends, over the last few months here in our church, we've lost some deeply faithful members of God's church. And at every funeral, we remember that Christ said, because of Jesus, because of Good Friday, and because of Easter Sunday, when we trust in him, death is gain, it is not loss. It is painful, there is deep grief, but there is a future to come. And I've kept a newspaper article of a young teenage girl. Her name was Kari. She was killed in an accident a number of years ago with another young girl called Caitlin. They were out camping with an organised group up in Hornsby Heights. They're in their tents, and one night during a massive storm, a tree landed on them and killed both of them. One moment they're asleep, the next moment they're gone. Both girls trusted in Christ. Both of them are now with Christ, which is better by far. And an amazing story, young Kari had written, she kept a bit of a diary, and it had written in her diary only 10 days before she died. Lord, thank you that my time on earth is running short so that I can go to be with you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity on earth to serve you. Thank you that to live is Christ, to die is gain. How real, how profound from a 15-year-old girl who didn't quite know when her death was coming. But in one sense, our death is always short, isn't it? We always need to be prepared for what is to come. And then Paul concludes this passage in the book of Romans. He says, for if when we were God's enemies, that's what we were reconciled to him, we are now his friends, through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Forgiven, God's friends, eternal security, eternal hope. And because of that, he says, you need to rejoice. So I say to you, if you're a Christian today, you need to be happy. Then it'd be joy in your heart because of what Christ has done for you. Then it'd be joy in your heart as you live for Christ each day. Don't be the tired, miserable ones all the time, complaining, whinging. I say some Christians, it's just like they've been sucking lemons the whole time. Just ease up, relax. God is Lord and sovereign. He's at work in your life. Experience some of the joy. I know sometimes life is tough and life is tiring and all of that, but let's seek the joy as we focus on the cross and resurrection, that no matter what we're going through, there is reasons for rejoicing. Let me conclude. I began with the story of a man's wedding. What is even more amazing is that the minister who took the wedding, the Reverend Nathan Durs, was once very far from God himself. That's the latest family photo, just the other day. You see, Nathan was an angry and selfish young man, he'd say. His young marriage was almost over. He was in his early 20s. His wife, Karen, in desperation, having been to a funeral and noticed the confidence with which Christians handle death, decided to go to church. They'd never been to church regularly. The relationship was broken. They didn't know where to turn. She said, I've got to try something. She ended up at Carringbar Baptist Church just down in the Shire. She said, I walked in, and as I sat there and they started to sing, I just wept. Just the sense of God bringing healing and restoration. I heard a message of God's love and God's forgiveness, and she embraced that message. She trusted in Christ and found peace with God. And every week she'd go back to church. And Nathan was wondering what was going on. And one of his friends said, she comes home pretty late from church. You sure she's not having an affair? So he said, I'll fix this guy up. He's pretty big, this Nathan, right? He said, I'm going to turn up to church and find out who she's having an affair with. He turns up to church as well. I'm coming to church tonight. Because he kept saying, where are you going? He said, it's church. If you want to find out, come with me. So he went with her and listened and found Christ. He didn't find anyone she was having an affair with. And the only affair was with Jesus, her Saviour. Converted, transformed, within a year or two went to Bible college, trained for ministry, worked with us here for 4 years at Ngawi Baptist, has been serving at Orange Baptist Church for the last 3 years. The groom and the minister. For those listening on radio, there's a photograph on the screen. Both wonderful examples of the power of God on Good Friday. The late Billy Graham said, God proved his love on the cross. When Christ hung and bled and died, it was God saying to the world, I love you. Friends, there's no better message today that God loves you deeply. Let me say, if you're new and visiting this morning, we have a visitor's notice board in the foyer. On there, you'll find some free booklets. For example, you have this story of Easter, the Gospel of Luke. Pick that up, have a read of the story and the whole story of the life of Jesus. We have a little booklet called Why Easter? You're able to read, which gives you a summary of the message that you've been hearing today and two ways to live the choice we all face. They're free. Feel free to take those, read, and discover more. I also want to let you know that in May the 7th, we will start a Christianity Explained course over 5 weeks to help you understand more about this message, give you time to ask your questions. If you'd like to do that, please talk to us about that after the service. Let me pray. Lord God, thank you for Good Friday. I know it was costly, Father, for you. It was costly for your Son. But we thank you that his death brings us peace. Help us to love him, to serve him, and to honour him, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.